We want to take a look at the legal and constitutional questions raised by yesterday's insurrection at the Capitol. Noah Feldman is professor of law at Harvard University. He's on Skype. Professor, good to speak with you.
Pleasure to be here.
And people are throwing around a lot of terms in the aftermath of this insurrection. Sedition is one of them, and I'm going to ask if it applies to what we saw yesterday in just a moment. But first, if you could define that word for me.
Sedition is a technical term here that comes from a federal law. And that law defines sedition as conspiring to overthrow the government of the United States, essentially by force, or to hinder the execution of the laws of the United States by force, or to steal the property or take the property of the United States by force. And as you can hear from that definition, some bits of it could be twisted to fit the events that we saw. That said, this is a law that's only very rarely implemented, and an ordinary protester who breaks through a barrier and enters a federal building is not typically charged with sedition.
So what's the difference? I mean, tell me what you saw and what gets close to that definition that you gave.
It may be that some of the people who entered the building were trying to overthrow the government of the United States, but that's not obvious. What it looked like is that they were trying to interfere with the orderly operations of the government, and that's not exactly the same. There is a law of the United States that says how we should count the ballots, and the protesters were trying to interfere with that. So in that sense, they were opposing the authority of the United States. And the question then is, were they doing that by force? Well, there was some force used. Windows were broken. Some protesters were armed, but others were doing it in a manner that we would treat ordinarily as protest falling short of the use of force. So I would say in each of these instances, there's a view where you could say, this is absolutely sedition under the law. And another view where you would say, potentially it could be called sedition, but it may not be sedition in the technical term. I would be astonished if any of the protesters were actually charged with crimes of sedition. From the standpoint of hard statutory language, it would be very difficult to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the conduct that we observed counted as sedition under the law.
I see. All right, let's turn to President Trump. Yesterday, as we know, he spoke to his supporters just before they stormed the Capitol, and he repeated his false claims that the election was stolen. And then he said this.
We're going to walk down anyone you want, but I think right here we're going to walk down to the Capitol. And we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women. And we're probably not going to be cheering so much for some of them. Because you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength and you have to be strong.
The president also urged his supporters not to give up. He said, we're going to have to fight much harder. What did you hear there from a legal perspective? Did the president cross any lines?
You know, First Amendment law says that for something to count as incitement, it has to be directed to inciting imminent lawless action and be likely to incite or produce that action. I think the second prong was probably satisfied here because the president's words did, in fact, incite immediate lawless action. On the other hand, it's not at all clear that the president's words were, quote, directed towards imminent lawless action, because in that clip that you just played, he's not calling in specific terms for anything lawless. He's calling for a protest march on the Capitol, and that's perfectly lawful and constitutionally protected, in fact. Similarly, when the president spoke later and told his supporters to go home while telling them that he loved them and that the election was being stolen, he was pretty careful not to use words that directed imminent lawless action. Now, all that said, an observer could say that much like Mark Antony's famous speech in Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, the words and their meaning were clear, even though the literal statement was not to riot or to break into the Capitol. But it's very hard to prove that in a court of law. So I would say that the president was skirting the very edge of what would legally be called incitement and would be prosecutable. Again, in the real world, I can't imagine a prosecutor actually bringing charges against the president for his words.
There are legal repercussions, and then there are political repercussions. We're hearing now from the Washington Post and other outlets that some administration officials have discussed invoking the 25th Amendment, which would involve the cabinet getting together and agreeing to remove the president from power. Just remind us quickly how that would work, and do you think that at this point it's likely it could come to that?
The 25th Amendment doesn't remove the president from office. It just temporarily puts his powers into the hands of the vice president. It takes first a majority of the members of the cabinet, which seems very unlikely to happen here, and then it takes two-thirds of both houses of Congress. Also would be a reach. The mere fact that it was being discussed does suggest that there was a moment where reasonable people thought that the president had just gone much, much, much too far, and that he was not operating in a manner that was consistent with the safety of the nation.
And what about impeachment? Others are talking about that, including Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, who says she's going to be drafting articles of impeachment against the president. How would that work? There's less than 2 weeks left in his term.
You could do it before the end of the presidency. And the way that would matter would be if, as one of the articles of impeachment, there was a call to ban Donald Trump from ever running for office again in the future. You have to have a separate vote on that aside from impeachment, and that would have long-term consequences.
Could they do that after the president leaves office, when Democrats will have control of both the House and the Senate?
A lot of people would say that you couldn't impeach the president after he was already outside of office. That might look too much like what the Constitution prohibits, a so-called bill of attainder, which is a law that attaints someone for criminal conduct by virtue of not a trial, but of congressional action. Realistically, I don't think any of these things is going to happen. What's worth reminding ourselves of is there was a time to impeach the president when the House in fact impeached him, and there was a time to remove him when the Senate didn't remove him in early 2020. And that was the consequential impeachment. Let's remember, that was for the president distorting the election in 2020 to try to stop Joe Biden from becoming president, more or less the same thing that he's just done. So, you know, I was there. I testified that he should be impeached and removed. I believe that was correct then, and we shouldn't forget that we had an opportunity to do that.
Noah Feldman, professor of law at Harvard University, thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.